You should have a Bible, a paper, and a pen to write things on anytime you hear preaching and anytime you're in God's house. Anytime you're reading the Bible, you ought to be willing to hear and write down what God tells you. Well, we're going to start this summer. In fact, I thought we'll just have some basic lessons on this, but there is so much here that most people never dig into, so I'm going to kind of focus on different things concerning worship. We're going to talk about worship this summer. There's so much said. I'm afraid that worship in Christianity, well, even what's supposedly Christianity, is much like the word love in the hippie days. It's used so much, and most people don't have a clue what the word means. And most Christians use the word worship often, and they really don't have a clue, biblically, what the word worship is all about, and what worship is all about. And I'm going to look at some Old Testament examples of worship, but at least the first couple of nights, I'm going to give you some things of what worship is. I mean, we can build, this list could go on I could come up with thousands of things, what worship is. It's not something you can simply define. Now, as far as a dictionary definition, and you could look this up in a dictionary, and basically it'll say something like this: worship is bowing down to, paying homage to, or reverence, or showing proper respect towards someone or something. That's what worship is. When someone kneels down or bows down, or even a handshake or a salute, those are all things showing proper respect or reverence. And even in the New Testament, the demons, when Jesus came, they worshiped Him. That doesn't mean they were saved, but they bowed down to Him. It's literally what the word means. But can anyone tell me, and I've got a list of a whole bunch of things. Oh, some good things to eat tonight. Better than candy. It's not candy, but it's better than candy. Some of the adults, when they see that, they're going to want to have some of this. It's not something that I made, though, but it's just as good as something I'd make. Can anyone tell me, I mention this often, and I'm not going to give you one for this, but where is the first time the word worship is used in the Bible? Jane? Okay. Okay, good. Amen. And you probably have it when it's in the New Testament too, right? When the wise guys came to Jesus. No, in Matthew chapter number 2, when the wise men came to Jesus. That's the first time the word, but that's certainly not the first place we see worship in the Bible. And my next thought is where is, and I'll just ask the question, we'll give it to you, and this could be a number of places, where's the first act of worship found in the Bible? Where's the first act of worship? Now, some folks, because of what we think worship is, we might come up with something that's not necessary. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And this book that we call the Bible is a book of worship. And it starts out with the very foundation of what worship is all about. Genesis 1:1, the first four words of the Bible. The Hebrew word, or the word that the book Genesis means beginning, beginnings, and that's where we get the title, the first word in Genesis 1, and it's translated in our Bible, in the beginning, and what's the next word? In the beginning, God. And there's the first principle of worship there. Now, we're going to give you some things to write down. I'm just going to give you some things by introduction here. First principle of worship is, it's all God. It's all about Him. I am nothing. He is everything. And that's the very foundation. We could discuss it. I wanted to spend some time in this, but I'm just going to read through my notes. And the question that I had was, why was God created? That's an interesting question. A lot of people have different ideas. Why was man created? Why did God create man? I'm going to read that question right. Why did God create man? Some people say, well, it was to praise and glorify God. No, it was much more than that. all of His creation was to praise and glorify Him. And if that's why we were created, somebody gave me this, I read this illustration this week and on another subject, but I thought, well, that fits here. That's like saying the word glory means to lighten, to enlighten someone. If you go out at noon o'clock, high noon, and you say, boy, that sun, I'm going to make that sun a lot brighter. And I'm going to pull out, I took my phone down, I'm going to pull out a little flashlight and shine that up in the air. Boy, that sure makes the sun brighter, doesn't it? That's how puny we are. That's what, when we say, well, we're going to, all our glory comes from God. And the only glory we have is from God. And we were created for much more than to glorify God. Now, all of God's creation praises and glorifies Him. But we were created, human beings were made to fellowship with God. We were made to fellowship with God. Now, we're made for a lot of things, but that's the primary reason why God made man different. And worship is really our fellowship with God. Man is the center, and I was going to go through Genesis 1 and 2, but we're not going to take time to do that for this section and show you how worship is fellow. Man is the center of God's creation. And in verse number 26 and 27 or 28 talks about how we were made in the image of God, and a reflection of God, after the pattern of God Himself, not as far as our physical features, but the part that God is a triune God, and we're made with three parts, a body, soul, and spirit. Man was given dominion over all of the earth. Not the heavens, but the earth. Man was to multiply and replenish the earth. That's an interesting statement that I don't have time to develop for the sake of this lesson. In Genesis 1, verse 29 through 30, we are told how God has provided everything that we need. And by the way, God still has provided everything that we need. And we can trust Him. We don't have to worry about a thing. We don't have to be anxious for anything. In Genesis 1 and verse number 31 tells us that all is good when we do His will. And God saw all that He was created, everything was good. When our worship is right, when our relationship's right with Him, everything's always good. And then verses number 1 through 3 in chapter number 2, the Sabbath was given as a day of rest. And we still call it a day of rest and worship. And by the way, rest, if we think of rest today, I'm going to sit in the Lazy Boy recliner and, you know, sip on tea all day. That's not what rest is all about. You studied out, God, of course, He rested from His creation. That doesn't mean He stopped working. Man was created to work. And He didn't stop doing things. He has a universe, to control, and to oversee. But He changed His direction. He changed His emphasis. Resting is not sitting and doing nothing, just like worship is not sitting and doing nothing. Worship and rest both are redirecting our focus and labor really from ourselves and to others. And we're going to look at a lot of the Old Testament sacrifices to emphasize that worship. And by the way, worship, and we say, well, in the Old Testament, they really emphasized that day of Sabbath. They couldn't do this and they couldn't do that. I guarantee you it was a day of strenuous work, especially for the Levites, but everybody. It's just that their work was different than it was the other 6 days of the week. And that Sabbath, or that day of rest, is a day of worshiping or honoring, serving God, and directing all our focus to Him. Now, I want to do this evening. I want to give you some things, and this is the title of what I want to emphasize tonight, The Origin of Worship. Or you could just say that, in fact, let's make it a little easier. I don't know how many us adults grew up, some of us, our favorite cartoon. You know, you get the funny papers in the newspaper, and one of our favorite cartoons was Peanuts, right? You have to relate this. This is back in the hippie days, and I remember I had an entire book of Peanuts cartoons, and every page, love is. And then it'd have a dot, it'd have a picture or some silly little thing. Love is. Well, tonight we're going to talk about worship is. Worship is. And from the very beginning of the Bible, And everything, I'm convinced of this, the more I study the Bible, everything in the Bible is covered in the first 9 chapters of the book of Genesis. Everything in the Bible builds upon that. That's the beginning, that's the foundation of all that we need to know concerning the Bible. Everything that's taught in the Bible, you can find it in those the first 9 chapters of the Bible. And the origin of worship, I was going to call it, but we're going to say worship is. I'm going to give you, I've got 7 things that worship is, and then 2 other things to add to that afterwards. So you want to make sure you get these 7 things, kids. Worship is. Now, you don't have to write out worship is every time, and I'm going to say it. You can put worship is and then 3 dots. And then underneath that, write these 7 things. Number 1, first of all, worship is fulfilling God's purpose. Worship is fulfilling God's purpose. What was man created for? To worship God, or to what? Fellowship with God. That's our very purpose in life. That's where worship begins, in fellowshipping with God. And all of creation was made for man, and again, I kind of went over that very quickly. Worship is fulfilling God's purpose. What did I say? Repeat it with me. Worship is fulfilling God's purpose. And then next, worship, now this is where a lot of people get off on this. Worship did not begin after sin. Worship did not begin after sin. And sometimes people get this confused. They say, well, the first time God talks about worship is when He offered that sacrifice, when He took that skin to cover Adam and Eve. Or the promise of the Savior. That's not where worship began. Man was created to worship God. Worship did not come after sin. Now, there's something we need to understand. Our worship did change after sin. Our fellowship did change after sin. We were separated. We were dead spiritually. But the purpose of worship is still the same, to fellowship with God. The purpose of man is still the same, to fellowship with God. God provided a way of salvation so we could get back in tune in fellowship with Him and properly worship Him again. And that's what most of the Bible is written about, how to make that right, to get back in that fellowship. And now, the main difference, of course, after sin is now we need a mediator between us and God. We can't go directly to God. Adam and Eve could sit down, as we read in chapter number 3, and in the cool of the day, they sat down and talked to God, just like I could sit and talk to Joe. I don't know why I'd want to sit and talk to Joe. Mercy would maybe want to sit and talk to Joe, but I don't really care. And we could look at each other and talk, and we could fellowship. Man could do that with God before sin. And by the way, when we are in heaven in our perfect body, we'll be able to do it there. But now we need a mediator. We come to God through the person, the man, Christ Jesus. And there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's our intercessor. He's the in-between person, and man needs that now because of sin. But worship didn't start after that sin. It was long before that sin. And I want you to get this, and I see this throughout the Bible, and this is something that we got completely goofed up in our world and our mentality today. Worship is not something we do, but it's something we are. Think of that. Worship is not something we do. It's something we are. Worship is our fellowship with God. It's kind of like prayer. Men ought always to pray. And sometimes we think, well, the only time we pray is when we're doing this, when we close our eyes. We always ought to be in a constant state of prayer. I've been married to my wife, and she's been married to me the same amount of time for almost 39 years. And, you know, we have a relationship together. We don't get up in the morning and say, okay, now we're husband and wife, and then the rest of the day we're going to go do something else. That's not how a relationship works. Your relationship with God's the same way. Some will say, well, I'm in church now. I need. Oh, one of the kids was telling on one of the other kids. Oh, they said something naughty in church of all places. Doesn't matter where you are. If you're saved, you're always in a relationship with Him. You can't put Him off and say, okay, well, you know, now I'm in church, I behave different, I talk different, I act different. Worship is a way of life. It's who we are. Not just, we don't put it on and put it off and we don't have a worship service. So, okay, now we're worshiping God. Okay, now we're not worshiping God. Well, we're always ought to be in a state of worship. Worship is not something that we do. It's something that we are. It's a relationship with Him. And of course, there are many things that we do in that relationship. My wife and I do a lot of things. She cooks me fine meals because we're in that relationship. Now, I'm glad I don't expect John or Don to cook me meals. I'd starve to death. We care for each other. There's things that we do, but our real fellowship, our real relationship is who we are. We're defined by who we are and what we are. So we said worship is fulfilling what? God's purpose. Worship did not come when? Kids, are you listening? Are you getting it? Say them with me, all right? Worship is fulfilling God's purpose. Worship did not come after sin. Worship came before sin. And worship is not something that we do. Worship is something we are. It's who we are. Our relationship with Him. Our identity with Him. Now, in Genesis chapter number 2, I'm going to show you a couple of verses for these. Those verses I gave you already, they go back to Genesis 1, what I would have built on if I had time to develop what I shared with you earlier. In chapter number 2, in verse number 7, because the study notes in this Bible, I only have like one verse on a page of this Bible, the actual Bible. So I've got to turn a lot of pages to get from one verse to the next. Verse number 7 of Genesis chapter number 2. Do you see that in your Bible? Genesis 2, 7. The Lord God formed man out of what? The dust of the ground. By the way, what's your body made of? Well, it's got blood, it's got muscle, it's got hair and teeth and eyeballs. What's your body made of? If you were to break down your body and just put it in a pile of stuff, what is it? It's two main ingredients. Dirt is one, but the majority of it is what? Water. You know, I was talking to Jim today in the hospital. I am convinced of this, that the majority of our health problems, we don't put enough water in this old body of ours. We're living in dirt. And what we do drink is stuff that we probably shouldn't drink. That's the number one cause of health problems in our bodies today, because we don't put enough water. And by the way, Jesus is the living water. And spiritually, we don't get enough of Him. But I don't want to get sidetracked there. But I want you to see something in verse number 7. God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We talk about God being three persons all in one. He is what? What are the three persons of God? Can you girls tell me? What's the three persons of God? God the Father, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we are made in the image of God. So are we the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? No, we are made up. All three of them are seen in verse number 7. And earlier said, we'll make them in the image of God. Man formed God out of the dust of the ground. That's what our body is. That's what you see here. This is just a pile of dirt. It's a good-looking pile of dirt, though, isn't it? You just got to get... What do you mean, no? You don't get a treat tonight. I don't care how much you write. You just get a bucket of dirt and mix some water in it, and I'll come walking out. That's what my body is. It's just dirt. That's my flesh. That's my body. Man is a body, but he is also what? The last part of the verse says, He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The last part of the verse says, a soul. What is my soul? My soul is what I think, what I feel, my emotions, my desires. That's who I am on the inside. And when God created man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The pneumas, the breath, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. God breathed into him spiritual life. And by the way, that's what happens when you get saved today. When Adam and Eve died, they died spiritually. Their soul was still very much alive. Their body was still very much alive. But their soul was now dead. And worship involves, I don't know if I gave you it, worship involves our body, our soul, and our spirit. A true relationship with God is that, well, we just, you know, Jesus said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, I just worship him in spirit, but not with my flesh. Oh, I worship my flesh and my soul and my spirit. I was sharing with somebody the other day, that's why we call it soul winning. Soul is our mind. We've got to be convinced that in our mind that we're a sinner, that we're lost and on our way to hell. And then our soul cries out to God. And when we cry out to God for salvation, we're spiritually born. The Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, comes to live inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And now we can truly worship God in body and soul and spirit. Worship involves what three things? Our body, our soul, and spirit. Worship and those are things you need to write down, okay? And then worship, oh, you see this. Worship is making right choices. Worship is making right. Where do you get that? I want you to see something in Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 8 and 9. And it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put man whom he formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Notice he said, all those different trees, all those, everything that man needs is in that garden. But then skip down to verse number 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. I used to have an apple up here, but it felt a little mushy, so I threw it away. I was going to give that out to somebody tonight, but I think it got dropped a couple too many times. But every tree, I like to eat things. I like to pick things off of trees and just eat them. Some things you don't want to just eat off of a tree. But everything in that garden, God said, you can eat. You could eat the tree itself. You could eat the leaves. Everything is there for your food. But in verse number 17, notice this. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Worship is exercising our will. Worship is making right choices, I think is how I said it. Worship, how I have it written here, worship is exercising our will. Worship is making right choices. I'm going to do what pleases God. I'm not going to do what pleases me. Boy, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By the way, that wasn't an apple tree. I know people always picture it as an apple tree. I think that's the devil's doing, but that's another story. There's nothing more healthy than an apple tree in all of God's creation. Every part of that apple tree is good for you. But of course, we just eat the apple and we don't even eat the core anymore. That core has got some great value to it. We don't even like the skin anymore. The skin's better than the meat in the apple. But anyway, I'm going to say that every tree you can eat except for one tree. And what tree was that? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Worship is making the right choices. I'm going to do what pleases God. That's an important thing right there that most people miss in modern Christianity. It's making right choices, doing what God wants us. Not what I want to do, but what God wants me to do. I think I skipped one of these. Oh, in fact, I skipped a couple of them. Worship is making right choices. I said this backwards. I skipped down a couple of them. Worship is making right choices, was that statement. I might have messed you up there. Worship involves body, soul, and spirit. And then the next one, worship is what? Making right choices. The next one comes a little later. I was looking too far down in my notes. My glasses got sideways, I think. I saw the wrong one there. Worship is making right choices. And the other one, exercising our will, is going to be a little bit farther. But the next one is this, in verse number 15. I want you to see this. And by the way, could one of the kids tell me, were there any weeds to pull in the Garden of Eden? Were there any thorn bushes that you had to be careful when you walked through them? Mm-mm. Why was that? Because there was no sin. Nothing was dead. Did the leaves ever fall off the trees in the fall? They turn colors and fall? No, because they never died. There's no death. You say, well, what did Adam and Eve do? Just sit around and eat stuff all day? No, God still gave them. And I want you to see this. In verse number 15, because a lot of folks don't realize that this was before sin. Verse number 15 of chapter number 2. And the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. What does that mean? To cultivate it. To care for it. To work in the garden. God created man to work. And in reality, a part of fulfilling who we are, what God designed us to do, a part of our worship is working for God. I said a couple of weeks ago, I think that one of the biggest oxymorons in Christian culture is we call church services worship service. We're really not worshiping God, and we're not serving. The other one doing any work is the preacher up there, and he's just crazy. And maybe the ushers, the musicians, they're working, but worship is work. In reality, we do more worship out when we leave church than we do when we come into church. Worship is a part of our worship is working. Worship is working. I will just say that in verse number 15, and we'll develop that throughout the summer. Worship is working. And then this is the one I meant to say, verse number 16 and 17, it's the same verses, but it's the same statement here, making right choices. But worship is exercising our will. Doing, dying to ourself that we might do what God wants us to. Exercising, letting our will align with Him. I can think of many verses that God gives us the desires of our heart when we truly walk with Him, because it's not that He gives us whatever we want, but our desires are what change. I can beg and plead for God. God, this is what I desire, this is what I want, but it's what I want. But when I truly am worshiping God and walking with Him, all of a sudden I desire the things that He wants. And He always gives us those things. The key is exercising our will, submitting our will to Him, and finding what He wants for us. So far we've got, let me see, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then we give you two other things. Let me see if I got them all right. Worship is fulfilling God's purpose. Worship did not come after sin. Worship is not something we do, but it's who we are. Worship involves our body, soul, and spirit. Worship is making right choices. And worship is working. Worship is exercising our will. And then, I want you to see this. We get into the end of chapter number 2 and beginning of chapter number 3. Because I want to pick up in chapter 3 next week. Worship, a right worship, I should say, leads us to God's blessing. Right worship leads us to God's blessing and God meeting our needs. God giving us things that we didn't ask for, but He's just good. Isn't God good? And when we have a right worship, when we have a right relationship with Him, He'll give us things that we didn't ask for. We didn't even know we wanted them. But when He gives them to us, wow, that's great, God. This is the best thing in the world. I want you to see something in chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. By the way, Adam was just having a great time in the garden. He was enjoying all of God's creation, looking at all the things that God made, enjoying feasting on everything that was available, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He could eat anything. He could do whatever. And God gave him some work to do that made him happy. And by the way, working makes you happy. Some people think that working makes me sad. Working is a delight. Working is a joy, especially if you're right with God. If you're not right with God, you run from work. But if you're right with God, you love to work. It's something you were created to do. Preferably work with your hands where you sweat and start dripping that stuff. And there's just something about that outside in the dirt and sweat and mud dripping down. It's just something. And you lick your lips and boy, that sure tastes good. That salt and sweat and dirt and there's nothing better than that. And that's just a part of God. Adam was just having a great time. He didn't have a care in the world. He didn't have a need. God said, Adam, is there anything you want? No, I can't think of any. There's nothing that I want. I've got everything that I want. But God said, wait a minute. Adam, it's not good that you're alone. You need something else. Oh, I don't need anything. I've got everything I need. Well, God says, verse number 19, where am I at? Verse number 19. Out of the ground of the Lord made beasts of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he called them. Whatsoever Adam called, he looked at all the creatures, look at all the animals, and God said, yeah, that's nice. Well, this is wonderful. Look at it. How many of you like to go to zoos? Could you imagine seeing all those animals in the wild? Now, I don't really care to go to zoos, but I'd like to see animals in their natural habitat. I'd like to wander out in the woods and see things. I was so excited last year when I... actually, a couple of things. I guess it was 2 years ago. How many of you have ever seen a badger in a zoo? You know what a badger is? They're mean things. You don't want to get in the same side of the fence as a badger. I saw a badger when I was riding my bicycle once. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And I tried to get as close as I could to them. And I saw an otter last year. I've seen many otters in different parts. I've never seen one in this part of the country till last year. I like to see things in the natural. And Adam was watching all these animals. And, boy, this is just great. Look at all these animals. And I can name them whatever I want. Who named a giraffe? Adam did. Who named a hippopotamus an elephant? No, nobody did that. Adam named him a hippopotamus. And Adam, all the animals, Adam named them. Adam gave names every cattle, every fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But Adam was not found. But wait a minute. Adam thought he was just having a great time, but still, there was something missing. There was not a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. The rib which God, the Lord God had taken from Adam, made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, wow, wow, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You know, I have a feeling when God was saying to Adam, you're going to leave your father and mother, and Adam saying, what's a father and mother? Never had one of them. And he's laying down the foundation of things to come, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. God gave Adam something he didn't know he needed. And by the way, that's just the way God is. When we worship God and we're walking with Him and serving Him, He gives us blessings that we would have never dreamt of on our own. When we try to figure it out and say, well, I'm going to do this, I really want that, and some people will really think we're something because I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm this age. I'm going to have a new car. I'm going to have a new... I'm going to work to this. I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to get all that. But boy, when I get... And they get that and never brings happiness. In fact, it usually makes them very bitter and sour and angry. They're never satisfied with those things. But if we learn the importance of living for God and serving God and truly worshiping God, God will give us things that we never dreamt of on our own. And they'll be far better than anything we could ever come up with on our own. And that's right worship leads to God's blessing and meeting our needs that we didn't even know we had. And then I want you to see this, especially the adults, and I need to finish this one. I could spend a lot of time here, but it goes right along with our study in Proverbs, the teens and the adults that we've had on Wednesday night. Right worship gives us God's understanding. God's understanding. Let me show you something in Genesis chapter number 3, and we're going to stop here. The first 7 verses of Genesis chapter number 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we shall eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. What's that tree called? Anybody know? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God doth know the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. Let me just stop there and say that I won't read all the way down through it yet. Understanding comes, first of all, there's 3 things the book of Proverbs says that we ought to get. First, we get knowledge. Eve knew she shouldn't eat that tree. She shouldn't eat from the fruit of that tree. She knew. She could regurgitate that. Now, she didn't even get the facts right. She thought she knew. And most people don't know all that they think that they know. She had knowledge. And she even got that a little bit wrong. But when we add, it ought not to stop there. Our world is impressed with knowledge. We think we're somebody because we have some knowledge. We've got a diploma that we can hang on the wall. We can regurgitate facts and pass the tests and improve, impress people because we have knowledge. But God says we're to add to our knowledge what? Wisdom. Wisdom is knowing, seeing things the way God sees them. You see, what Eve saw when she saw that tree, she was listening to the devil and saying, boy, Eve, you're really smart, aren't you? You really got something. I tell you what, if you eat of this fruit, God knows He's going to give you more knowledge. Don't you want more knowledge? Well, she was seeking for knowledge, but she wasn't looking for wisdom. Wisdom is, and God already told them, God gave them enough wisdom to know when you eat that, you're going to die. Do you realize what that's going to do if you eat that fruit? Boy, but I want it. She saw that it was good. And the devil said, I'll give you more knowledge. Your eyes will be open. And you will know good and evil. You'll have more knowledge. Not only you'll know the good, which is all you know, but you'll know the evil. Oh, don't you want to know the other side of everything? Don't you want more knowledge? You know, I don't want more knowledge. But then, I want you to see this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat. Now, and by the way, wisdom is seeing things. God saw good and evil. Not in Eve. He saw the evil in the devil. But now she sees evil for the same for the first time. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron, and they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees and now of the garden. Worship gives us God's understanding. You know, she had God's understanding. Understanding is knowing the mind and character of God. God told them not to eat that fruit because it would destroy them. He knew what was on the other side, but all she was seeing was something that she desired. Right worship will give you God's understanding. Having a relationship with Him will give us not only knowledge of wisdom and understanding when we truly are walking. If Eve would have had God's understanding, she would have never eaten of that fruit. Think of that. Now, she knew what that was going to do, but she saw it as something that she desired. She wants to have the knowledge of good and evil. She wants to know more. She wants to be like God. But no, God didn't want us to be like Him. He wants us to fellowship. He didn't want us to become gods. He wants us to, I didn't say that right. He wants us to be like Him, but He doesn't want us to overcome Him, to be put over Him. He wants us to have that relationship with Him. And everything that we have to say about worship throughout the Bible can be built upon these principles here in Genesis chapter number 1 and 2.